Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
A couple weeks ago, we heard some difficult words from Jesus about casting fire on the earth and dividing families. And I thought and preached that if that were the first Sunday you ever came to church in your life and you heard words like that, that might be the last Sunday you ever came to church. I mean, really, who needs a Jesus like that, right? I have enough problems in my life to deal with. I don't need Jesus piling on and adding more. Maybe you remember that sermon. If not, it was August 17th. You can go to our website and give it a listen. Well, Jesus is at it again today. More hard words about hating your family and hating your own life, about bearing your own cross and renouncing all you have. And if you don't or won't do these things, here's the punchline: you cannot be my disciple. Now, honestly, that's a little confusing, isn't it? Because the fourth commandment tells me to honor my father and my mother, which means I should not only honor them, but serve and obey them, love and cherish them. And then there was an episode with the Pharisees, maybe you remember. The Pharisees had this practice where they would state that all their worldly possessions were korban, that is, dedicated to God, so they could no longer use them to help or support their parents. And Jesus criticized them for that. But that seems to be what Jesus is telling us to do here. So which is it? And then, renounce all I have? All I have is a gift from God. Should I really consider it bad? Is it something I should get rid of? But this is more than just confusing. Because I don't hate my family. I love them. And I don't always bear my cross, which means to lay down my life for others. I don't always do that. And I haven't renounced all I have, which means, I guess, I'm out. I cannot be a disciple. And I'm guessing you too. But before we all leave and lock the doors, what happened right before Jesus said these words can help us understand them. For Jesus told a story about a man giving a banquet, but those who were invited made excuses. Their animals, their property, their family needed them, so they couldn't come now. Another time, maybe. Maybe later. But you all know what happens after we say that. I'll do it later. I'll do my chores later. I'll exercise later. I'll make that difficult call, have that uncomfortable discussion later. I'll help you later. Later never comes. We get busy. Other things distract us, we forget, or we hope that the other person will forget and we'll be off the hook. And sometimes that happens, and sometimes there is time later. But when it comes to Jesus and eternal life, there may not be time later. There may not be more time. Jesus might come again in glory, and then those who said later will miss out. or those who think later may, in the meantime, drift away from Jesus and his gifts. And a branch that is not connected to the vine, a faith that doesn't receive food and drink from Jesus, can die. And Jesus doesn't want that. He wants everyone to be saved and follow him to eternal life. That's why Jesus came and died on the cross for you. That's why he baptized you. That's why he established his church and gave pastors to preach and absolve. That's why he gives you his body and blood here. That's why this banquet, this feast of word and sacrament, of gifts freely given, of life and salvation. It's all here from Jesus for you. But there are things that get in the way of that, aren't there? In the story Jesus told, it was animals, property, and family. What are they for you? Maybe it's one of those things for you too. Or maybe for you it's your work or school or sports that take up your time and keep getting in the way. Maybe it's pride that keeps you from repenting, or a pleasure or desire that's keeping you in its grip. Maybe it's discontent with how your life is going, so you don't want to follow Jesus more, but less. Maybe it's fear, or weariness, or greed, or 100 other things. So with his words today, Jesus is saying, don't let anything get in your way. Don't let anything get between you and Jesus to keep you from following Jesus or keep you from receiving his gifts here. Because the most important thing you have is not what you have now, though all we have now are good gifts from God. The most important thing is your eternal life, that you live with Jesus forever. Keep that first, and everything else will fall into place. Or keep the end in mind to live now wisely. And Jesus gives two examples of that, of a man building a tower and of a king going to war. Before you begin doing those things, if it's a tower, you make sure you have enough money to finish it. If it's war, you make sure you have enough troops to win. But you keep the end in mind to live now wisely. Now, don't misunderstand this reading, these words of Jesus. And this is important because I think sometimes people do. What Jesus said today is not about what you have to do to be a disciple of Jesus and get into heaven, as if you could do either of those things. Jesus chose his disciples and he chose you. He baptized you and absolves you and feeds you. He died for you and atoned for your sins. And he has gone to prepare a place for you in his kingdom. That's all him. This, what Jesus says today, is rather about what might get in the way of that. It's not, here's what you have to do to get into heaven. It's, if you're going to start something, consider first where it might lead you. If you're going to start a new activity or a new friendship or a new sport or a new job or a new place to live or a new way of life, consider first if it's going to get in the way of you following Jesus or of you going to or having a church. For example, I know many people who have moved to new places and bought beautiful houses, just gorgeous and big and land, and they get there only to find that there's no church near them to attend, to be fed by Jesus and his word and sacrament. So they try going to a church, they drive a long way. But when it starts getting hard to get the kids ready on time, and when the weather turns, when gas prices go up, when you drive all week for work and the last thing you want to do is drive more on Sunday, attendance begins to slip. Drifting begins to happen. Turns out what seemed like a good decision at the time. Because once you start down that road, once you make those commitments, it's hard to stop. We heard another example of this today with, I think, a better ending, and that's the story of Onesimus and Philemon. Onesimus was a slave who had run away from his master, Philemon. He bumped into Paul, became a Christian, and Paul told him, "You have to go back." It seemed like a good idea at the time to run away, but now you realize there's more to life than just here and now, whether you get to be on your own or not. To continue to be a runaway slave and expect Jesus to bless you in such a life isn't going to work out. It's going to get in the way. Yes, this is a cross you might have to bear, Onesimus. You have to go back. I'll write a letter for you. I'll ask Philemon to give you and receive you back as a brother, as a Christian, but you gotta go back. Maybe there are some things in your life like that. Some things you have to walk back. It seemed like a good idea at the time, but now? And that's hard. But at such times, it's good for us to remember some words of Jesus, which actually we heard last week in the epistle, and we sang a version of it just now, just today. "I will never leave you nor forsake you." If you've wandered off, Jesus will not leave you or forsake you, but search for you and welcome you back. If you've sinned, even in a big way, Jesus will not leave you or forsake you, but rejoice in you and every sinner who repents. If you've really screwed things up, like Onesimus, Jesus will not leave you or forsake you, but be with you through it. This is the promise he made you when he baptized you, that you're his child and he's not going to stop loving you and wanting the best for you. The world might turn its back on you, but he never will. And of that you can be sure, because Jesus did count the cost of building his church. And he did know what it would take for his one person to do battle against Satan and all the hordes of hell. He knew it would cost him his life on the cross in a brutal and gory death. He knew it. It wasn't a surprise. He knew it. And he came and did it for you, to set you free from your slavery to sin and death and make you more than a disciple, to make you his child, his son, and an heir of his kingdom. He kept the end in mind to do and live wisely. So the scriptures say this of Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, the end that he saw, endured the cross now, despising the shame. And so he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God that you be there with him. He was there. He didn't have to leave and go back, unless it was for you, to take you to be with him there in paradise. Keep that end in mind to live now wisely. And when we gather here, the Lord's Supper helps us do that. Because in this supper, we not only receive the forgiveness we need for the wrong roads we go down and the mistakes and bad decisions we've made, but it directs our hearts and minds and eyes to the end. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. And it is the foretaste of the feast to come. And we know, yes, that's where I want to be. That's where I want to go. That's the life that will not end. That's what's important. And this food, this body and blood of Jesus, feeds me in this life, but not just for this life, but for that life. That either when I die or Jesus comes again in glory, whichever comes first, I will be ready. This is where I need to be, for that is where I want to be. Keep the end in mind to live now wisely. Which is good advice, whether you're a long-timer or a first-timer, young or old. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. For Moses and the people of Israel, that was the promised land. For us, it is eternal life. Hold fast to Jesus. He is your life. When you have difficult decisions to make, choose the way of life, the way of Jesus. And know that you will have crosses to bear on the way. But Jesus made the cross and death serve life. And he will do the same for you and the crosses you bear. They will serve your life. If you can't see that right now, or it doesn't seem so right now, then believe his words and promises. And believe the empty tomb. The empty tomb, which means you're out. Not out of being a disciple, but out of the tomb, out of death, out of sin. And that means you're in eternal life. Because Jesus didn't let anything get in the way of his saving you. He kept the end in mind. He kept you in mind. And he still is. And he always will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.